me, I'm not interested in what causes a fear. I'm interested in how people get over them. And most people, you know, who have fears of small spaces or these things, whether they, I think they're learned, because you're only born with two natural fears, loud noises and falling. All the rest you acquire and learn. And in our lifetime, we grow millions and billions of neural pathways every night. We do it even though they say you can't teach old people new things. That's just ludicrous. They do it all the time. The telephone company does it to us by changing our phone numbers all the time, mm-hmm. and we have to memorize them. Our ability to learn new things, because the brain is a machine designed to make things familiar. And when you're faced with unfamiliar things and you don't know how to respond, one of the immediate responses people get is fear. So probably when you got in the MRI, it was either related to something in your past or given that it was a new experience.
Yeah, it was.
If you hold your breath and, or you breathe in and then try to breathe again without exhaling, almost anybody can panic. The question is, how do you get beyond it? And when I get people who have, you know, most of my clients have been through everything. They've done every kind of therapy they could. I'm typically the last resort. I've got a 40-year career of working with people that have been given up on by everybody. And if I get somebody that spent 16 years in therapy, terrified of heights, and they're still terrified of heights, the therapists have already examined where it came from, the whole foundation of modern psychotherapy was climbing around in your childhood and your past to find traumatic experiences that were the root cause of your problems. They believed that if you understood how you got a problem, sort of magically it would disappear. They believed that understanding produced change. And I don't really believe that. I believe learning produces change. Now, the neural synapses in the brain, out of the millions and billions of neural pathways that there are, know how to go to the exact one you're using mm-hmm. by size. So if every time you get in an elevator, you're terrified, it's because you have a neural pathway that's learned this. And most of us, when we remember scary events, when you remember being in the MRI, you get back a little bit of that fear
sure.
because the memory is connected with it. In fact, most people can be afraid before they actually get in the elevator, before they actually fly on a plane, before they actually touch a snake, you know, or whatever it is, before they go up and talk to a pretty girl. You know, whatever it is you're afraid of that stops you from doing things, if you think about it, when you think about it, it scares you even before you do it, which, because the truth is, the fear isn't in the elevator, the fear isn't in the MRI machine, the fear is in your head.
That's right.
And it's in your head because you learn to do it.
And you psych yourself out. You make
well,
it even
you
worse.
Psych yourself up. Some people do it with internal voices. Some people do it with horrible pictures. The largest set of fears, by the way, is public speaking. I think we owe that to our lovely educational systems.
Mm-hmm.
They scare
You're
the
right.
hell out of us when we're kids, and as we get older, we're all terrified to get up and talk.
And see, that
audience.
In that I love, but it was this MRI, I couldn't handle it.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter. We all pick and choose these things. But not only that, we're consistent about it. We're not afraid of public speaking one day and of MRIs the next and of this some other time. But you see, if you go back to the memory of it, when you remember it now and you get back a little of that fear, you probably started at the beginning of the memory and ran it forwards.
Right.
And by the way, when you think about the memory, is it life size or larger than life?
Life size.
Life size.
Life size.
Because if you're going to scare yourself, you need a pretty good size screen, actually.
Yeah.
And when I ask people about terrifying memories, things they can't get over from the past, everybody tells me it's life size or larger than life. And the truth is, if you go back and start at the end of this memory, if you think about being walking out of the doctor's office, the very end, and if you just start at the end and run the memory backwards really fast so that everybody walks backwards, talks backwards, you pop through the MRI machine and pop out the door and pop back to your house before you even left, and you do it really fast in your brain, what it does is it flattens out that neural pathway, that minute electrical charge, because be it ever so microscopic, every pathway in your brain is a little different. And when you run the memories backwards and you take these images in your mind and suddenly shrink them down or suddenly wipe them out with a brightness knob. What happens is it interferes with the tendency to do it automatically. This is why in my seminars, I'll bring in a 16-foot snake and take somebody that can't even say the word snake and bring them on the stage, sit them there, and I'll have them run through 10 or 15 minutes of mental exercises, and then I'll bring out a snake, and they'll look at me nonchalantly and touch the snake like, you know, why are we even doing
this? Yeah, no big deal.
Okay, because when you recode the brain, this is why we call it neuro-linguistic programming, because your ability to self-program your brain, and for the past four decades, I've built a technology that tells you which sequences do what. So this one removes the fear, this one gets you to be motivated. There are some strategies that are better for painting and some for spelling, some for remembering some things. Some are better for writing music and some for remembering music. And I've spent decades going around and finding the most skilled and successful people, people who got over fears, people who are great painters and great writers, and finding out what they do both consciously and unconsciously.